Well, good morning, everybody. Just as we try every time we meet to have the lessons blend together, I want to go back and start. I want to rewind back a couple paragraphs in last night's lesson to get us started again, because the series is called The Voice of Separation. And that's the theme, and we want to talk about that. What is a voice of separation? A voice of separation is when we cry out from the tomb of our own mind, attempting to change the appearances in this world. It's a voice of separation. It's the definition of the world where no one was. And that's the title of today's lesson. A world where no one was. Now, we had a testimony yesterday that I want to read again. And this person said, "Thank you. It's been a long road. Many shocks along the way. I have been down many garden paths. I appreciate all your sharing and truth as I have been wanting to know the truth. I see that I have to stop chasing God. I've been living 81 years in separation. But then she says, I'm still here. But now, that I is a different I, isn't it? When you recognize you've been living 81 years in separation, right? We've spent a long time on a road in a world where no one was, where we were living by the wrong name, controlled by the outer world, controlled by the dilemma of where we find ourselves, controlled by it, a world where no one was. So this person has been on a long road, many shocks along the way. I've been down many garden paths to nowhere. To nowhere. Many garden paths to nowhere. And I'm sure last night, as we took on the Goliath of a ministry that's done and taught so many wonderful truths, but still ended up running back to appearances. But still ended up running back to the appearances, which is very popular, by the way, amongst human beings who live in a world where no one was. It's really popular if you can appear to be successful in altering the circumstances in an outer world. It's very, very popular. Healing ministries have all been very popular. And you find when you get to the core of them that most of it's fake, it's never consistent, and if it's not consistent and it's not, and it's if it's changing, if it changes in any degree, it's not truth. And we get caught up in our circumstance and then we ask the question. And we found out yesterday from our request, we get caught up in the circumstance and we ask the question, why? And the problem is in our question, we then are pointed back and centered back to this person who never was. Living a life going nowhere. Now, it takes quite a, it's quite a confession to say I've been living 81 years in separation, okay? That's quite a confession. I've lived 50-some years in separation. Well, one day in separation is a day too long. And it's time to reverse that, and that's what we're going to do. So, the world where no one was. So I want to go back and read Revelation and again describe the kingdom of God as is seen by John in Revelation 21. And he said, and the 12 gates were 12 pearls, every several gate was of one pearl, and the street of the city was pure gold, as it were transparent glass. And I saw no temple therein. So the time of outward worship, the time of worshiping a visible God, the time of worshiping a temple in the desert, because when we focus on our temple, that's where we're at, is in the desert. That's where the physical temple was. It was always in the wilderness, right? They didn't set it up again in the promised land, did they? It became an Ark of Covenants. And when we enter into a land of milk and honey, it doesn't mean that you're not going to have problems anymore in this outer realm. That's the old school. That's what they were dealing with in Egypt. So how can we rise above that? But the street of the city was pure gold, as it were transparent glass. Now the gold, I remember getting a revelation once that the gold is where the wheels, do you remember the wheels of fire that Isaiah saw on the chariot? Ezekiel? Ezekiel. Those wheels of fire represent all of the tribulation that takes place in our lives. Right? That work out on the refining floor of gold. A floor of gold. And then it said, it became as transparent glass. I began to see through all the tribulation and realized that there was no temple therein. All of the things that's happened in our lives become as transparent glass, become as nothing. The history of time. And I saw no temple therein. And so the Lamb continues to lay down his idea of life every day. That's what the Lamb does. It says the Lamb was the temple. But we want to continue to testify as a human being. We want to continue to testify as a man about our problems. We keep going back. We hear truth and we go back. So I saw no temple therein. And in a verse back in November, in 1 Peter, a beautiful verse that when I read it, I thought, we're not getting enough out of this. This is so beautiful. We could spend a month on this verse. I want to read it again because it says the same thing that John says. It says, but ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, a different people, that ye should show forth praises of him who hath called you out of darkness. So this was the key verse on our lesson, called out of darkness. Who hath been called out of darkness into his marvelous light, which in time past were not a people, but are now the people of God, with which hath not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy. In time past, on this city that was pure gold, everything became as transparent glass. Everything became as nothing. Everything that's ever happened, up to 30 seconds ago, we'll give you 30 seconds of turmoil, okay? But up to 30 seconds ago, it doesn't mean anything. Every morning, I have to hit the easy button when I get out of bed, that I don't bring the turmoil of my memories from yesterday into the morning. I have to reset the easy button. I have to see that everything that's happened in my life become as transparent glass and realize I'm not to focus on my temple. This higher level of understanding sees that there's no temple therein. Understands that in time past, from 30 seconds ago back, I was not a people if I lived there. Well, why? Because you can't live in the past. How can you be a people if you're constantly living within your history and memories of anything that's happened to you? I don't care if it's a health, any kind of crisis. You can't continue to bring the crisis of your history into today and expect to have any kind of a life. You can't. We're continually dying in the past memories, continually dying over and over again. Continue to die over and over, over and over. And that's the testimony of a human being, by the way, who says, was not a people, who's no temple, and must realize that they've got to let go of their own name and receive their new name. The new name. And Jocelyn and I talked about it last night. The people that she's hanging around with are very suspicious of this truth that is shining out from her. And they're coming up and pestering her and wanting her to say things. And she has the answer. And what's interesting is she's not in any hurry to give it out, but they're continuing to ask her. We're supposed to get a there's a new name coming. And what's so wonderful about this new name is that with this name becomes 100% paradigm shift from living within the turmoil of circumstances and past experiences to living in the now, where we stop searching for answers to our problems. We stop searching. And I can give you a clue as to what I found in my life, and that is the specific answer I'm looking for the thing that's closest to the surface is could you, a lot of times be two or three layers removed from the real issue. That the issue we think's in front of us isn't the issue. Isn't the problem, okay? That's what I've found. That I keep saying, I've got to have this or I've got to have that. But then my question is, well, why? Why is that so true? Because that's where we get tangled up. And we'll never see this transparency through all the difficulties in life until we get the focus of what we think our personal needs are. Get off of that. We have to get off of it. Because that's where we get trapped. So I don't want to testify as a human being anymore because that's the darkness. And to be called out of this darkness, we have to realize that we are not a people when we live there. It says in times past, people who live by the history, the memories of their problems, which could have started a half an hour ago, a day ago, a week ago, a year ago, You know, I've got a close friend who doesn't forget about anything bad that anybody's done to him. And they wrote to me, and on one of their goals, they said, "Well, I want to find inner peace." And I said, "Well, you're never going to find inner peace if you're always criticizing things all the time. We can't find any inner peace if there's a problem. And if there's a problem in our life, we're being critical of something or someone or some system. But there's a problem in our life." It says, "But now the people of God have obtained mercy." Mercy for what? Mercy for our unbelief and following around this man who never lives within himself, never finds inner peace. So we're tempted by the current events of this world. We're tempted by the judgment of the current events of this world. Our events, global events. Tempted by it. I just read, someone said, we're so close to the end of the world. Well, when they say those things, they don't know what they're talking about. Yeah, the only world that has to end is yours. The only world that has to end is your history, your memories of everything from 30 seconds ago. Like I said, I'm going to give everybody 30 seconds to rebound, okay? I'm going to give you 30 seconds. We're going to get that down to 1 second, and then at some point we're going to see the revelation that there's no such thing as passing time. We're going to quit watching the clock. And I don't mean that by don't go to your appointments on time. I mean it by the judgment. We're always talking about the judgment of appearances. And the judgment of appearances is the MO. The judgment of appearances is the MO of a world where no one was. And we read and have studied when we looked at the story of Sodom and Gomorrah, and what did it say when it was done? It was though as if it never were. And everybody focuses in on the grossest debauchery of the story and thinks it was about gays and lesbians. Every man does. But this is the story of your mind. It's a story of everyone's mind. They're standing right next to their own righteousness, but they're still groping in the darkness for their own door, their own way out. Remember? They're still reaching for a handle, which is your answer, your definition of your answer to your circumstance. That's your handle. And you grabbing a hold of that handle is tormenting you. It's fiery hot, this handle, and it burns you. It's fiery hot. We have to walk away from it and step back and say, "Father, where is the real issue?" Because it's normally not the issue that's on the surface. It's normally not the issue that's on the surface. So we're tempted by the judgment of current events in this world. So we must apply the principles that we know are true. And that what appears to be the problems in this world have to be seen as opportunities for silence to go within. Not to change anything in the world, to go within where righteousness and joy and peace dwell. Where spiritual sense then begins to dominate. Opportunities for silence. Nothing that anyone says, nothing that anyone does can bring stability to the appearances. There's no life there. There's no peace there. Man is never, ever going to have dominion over an earth that is powered by an illusion of changing appearances. And to compound the issue, then the judgment of the illusion is powered by an unbelief in our true identity. So you got double jeopardy. And that's a hell of a mess in hell. We're in hell and we've got double jeopardy going on. And that's why it says a rich man can't enter into the kingdom of heaven. Because he thinks he's a rich man. There's nothing wrong with riches. But he thinks he's a rich man. And so we're continually focusing in on our name and our specific problem, and we're trying to squeeze some kind of life out of it, and there's no life there. There's no life there. There's no peace there. Man is never going to have power over the earth. We're not going to have dominion over the animals. Oh my gosh, can't we see beyond the physical allegory? I mean, that's a message of appearances. It's a message of control. We think if we have dominion, we're going to control the negative effects of this earth, and every religion, every man in the world is trying to do that now, and everybody's got a different version of what they think's negative. The Muslims think the West should be annihilated because we show more skin than they do. You know, that's why the women walk around and all you can see is their eyes. Sometimes you hardly see that. I mean, it's nuts. And you've got Holland on the beaches, nobody wears anything. Well, who's right? Well, none of them are right. Nobody's right. There is a world far beyond the appearances, outside of the realm of time, where peace dwells. And it only dwells outside of the conflict you have. It doesn't dwell within the conflict. You're never going to find peace within the details of the conflict. Never. And so a man who thinks he's something different than what God says he is, Paul said, a man who thinks he's something when he's nothing deceives himself. And so here we have a people who see themselves as human beings scrambling and following systems of rules coming from the mind. And what are they following? What are we following? Well, it's certainly emotional. It can be very emotional. So we follow us emotions. We follow pain, which draws us into a realm of death and hell. I mean, it happens to me. I mean, when I was seething on the floor with those kidney stones rolling around and I didn't know they were kidney stones, I mean, you think, man, this is not good. Right? And I wasn't very friendly either. You wouldn't want to be around me. I mean, I wanted to go away, and I'm sure Diane wasn't real excited about hanging around me at the time either. Yeah. So are we going to let pain dictate who we are? Going to let emotions, the answer to our problem, dictate who we are? Man, we've got to go deeper than that. We've got to go a lot deeper than that, don't we? We have to rise above it. So it says one of the answers is to be still and know. And what is meant by that scripture, to be still and know? Well, it's just where stillness does its work. Nothing can be altered in the darkness to produce any degree of light. Nothing. But we have found that while we're in the darkness, the light begins to shine. The contrast. I remember saying the best a man can do who doesn't know his new name is manage darkness. That's the best you can do. And really, if we're honest with each other, it's never really been very joyful. This management of darkness. It's unpredictable, it continues to change. There's no real continuity there. And so Jesus gave us the command, judge not by appearances. He gave us the first key to begin our journey out of the circumstance world. Judge not by appearances, but judge righteous judgment. He gave us the first key. So be still and know. Know what? Righteous judgment. Understand what righteous judgment is. So the light begins to pull us away from what Peter described as a vapor of passing time, where every human being passes away. He passes away. How does he pass away? He realized he was never a people. There was never anything there. Never. Anything there of any spiritual substance. And John said, John says, when I reached the pinnacle of understanding the kingdom of God, I found no temple there, he said. This is the end of Revelation now. I found no temple there. The man disappeared. Jacob found no temple there when God told him his name was Israel. Jacob discovered no temple there. And he still didn't quite understand it, because it could have been weeks, days, whatever later. When Esau came, he was still scared to death of Esau, because Esau had pledged to kill him years ago. And what does he do? He puts the people he likes the least in his group in the front, and he stands at the back like a coward, thinking for sure Esau's going to get him. And when Esau finally works his way, and as Esau's coming, you remember, Jacob said, you can have all of them. Take them all, you know. But he kept Rebekah back close to him, remember? His prized possession, whatever that might be in your life. Kept close to him. And to save his own skin, he probably offered her up too. But when Esau finally got a hold of him, it said he hugged him and kissed him on the neck. He hugged him and kissed him on the neck. And Esau saw his own name. I'm sorry. Jacob saw his own name in Esau. It says it specifically. He didn't understand when God said your name's Israel what it was, because he asked God what his name was. Well, God, let's say, God, nice to meet you. What's your name? Well, I just told you what my name was, he said. But he didn't see that until the relationship with Esau was restored. A place of peace, right? A place where peace dwells. This kingdom within. Okay, it's a beautiful story. I think it's something that really should be the focus of what is your name. So, how can we escape the history of passing time and live within a realm of righteousness where the byproduct is joy and peace? Because this is the command. This is the command of Jesus. How can we look at our situation and use it as a platform instead of trying to change it? Use it as a platform to enter into a deeper realm of inner peace. Not outer peace, not circumstantial peace, but inner peace where the kingdom of God dwells. Because we're never going to find it outside of the inner self, where we've been given a new name. We can't find it there, and the world will never find peace in that realm. Some of you have written, and we've talked about how we were so tempted to enter back into the past. And I remember the testimony of one of our friends in Australia and said, "Oh, this truth is so wonderful, but I continue to enter back into guilt memories." Now, it could be any memory. There could be guilt memories. There could be sense of loss memories. There could be memories of poor health conditions in the past, memories of things that's happened in years past, but we seem to be dealing with the same thing over and over again. The same thing. And so where is life? Well, it's obviously not in this situation. There's no life there. There's only fear there. Well, it says the kingdom of God is righteousness, joy, and peace. And again, it's been a specific order. Judge not by appearances, but judge righteous judgment. Now, we think that's something you do. And it's not anything you do. It's something where you withdraw from judgment. You can't try to start to not judge, because as soon as you try to start to not judge, you judge. So it's a totally different realm. It's a different realm. And man has fallen asleep to the fact of what his true identity is. He doesn't know who he is, because he's finds himself trapped in a body with his own name and is trying to do stuff all the time to create a realm of nirvana, personal illusory heaven. That's what man is, continuing to find this. And you see people come into loads of money, and then they die from overdose of drugs because they party so hard. How many times have we heard that happen? So is that the answer, to get a bunch of money to show up? No, it's not the answer. The answer is to find peace outside of this world. Jesus says, "My kingdom does not come by observation." The kingdom of God has nothing to do with having dominion on the horizontal plane where bumps are sticking up in the air, which could be animals, rocks, anything. There's nothing wrong with what we see out here. The only thing that's wrong is our judgment of what we see. Right? Do we understand that? It's our judgment of what we see. And we think that's just something visible, but it's anything to do with any circumstance that traps you in time. That's our judgment of what we see. Because we begin to build a war chest. Our history builds a war chest of different swords we pull out. Well, this one worked, and this one worked, and this one worked, and it's formed religions. And I'm sorry, but the Infinite Way has done the same thing by saying they've taken and used conditional meditation to alter circumstances in the world. And they've went further from the truth than if you never developed the system. Meditate your brains out. I don't care. I don't care whatever you do to help yourself find your new name, your inner peace. I don't care what it is, but there's no pattern. It's not the same for everybody. Other people said, "Mike, I'm so glad you said, I'm so glad you said we don't have to pray." I got a message from Linda that said, "Mike, I quit praying 15 years ago. And when I was asked last week to pray for people who were sick, I was silent. I felt no urge inside to do anything. Now that seems very insensitive, doesn't it? In this realm, in this world, it seems very insensitive. But I'm going to read you something a little bit that's even more insensitive, and it's not my words, it's what Jesus said. And we're going to find out exactly what he meant. So, Jesus said, the kingdom of God is righteousness, joy, and peace. And it's been a specific order, so it must be pretty important. So in order to experience joy and peace, we have to first understand what righteousness is. And we've been taught by the Spirit over this whole life of this ministry that we can't understand righteousness without understanding what judgment is. And we can't understand what judgment is without understanding what righteousness is. So the words are one word. Righteous judgment is a union. And I remember when I first read the verse, and when I get revelations like this, it's just, I mean, I really think I need to wear Depends sometimes when this happens. It's just like, holy smoke. Is that really what it means? No. I'm judging the world in righteousness? What? Somebody just said last week, the world's going to end. Well, is the world that God judges in righteousness going to end? I don't think so. So it's the world you're judging that thinks it's going to end. It's all in your own mind. It's all just imagination. That's what needs to end, is just our vain imagination and our judgment of what we see happening out beyond this room. And then we get moved back into our own world, which is really what has to end. And when we, and you're never going to get to your world if you keep blaming your neighbor or some. I've got to deal with the situation when we get done with these meetings, where I've got a person, and I'll just tell you a little bit about what it was. Diane was just told this morning, because when I'm in the middle of something, I don't like to share it because it tends to cloud my good judgment about the situation, you know. But a person that's a family member got fired while I was gone at business, at work. And I didn't know anything about it. So who did that? Well, it was a staff member. And I'm not upset at the staff member. Right? Now, I know this person. I've been working with this person. And this person always deflects the problems by saying what somebody else is doing. Always. Well, you know, here's the reason you got fired. Well, they do this, or they do that, or they do this. What anybody else is doing, I don't care. I don't care what anybody else is doing. I've got enough going on in my own world. In my own world, when we get done with these meetings now, I'm telling you, I'm going to go back into my own world, and it snags me up. I'm not any different than anybody else, guys. I'm going to go into work Monday, and I'm going to have to keep hitting. Sometimes I got to get that reset button out. I'm going to have to get a sledgehammer and pound on that thing every 10 minutes. Sometimes, where is that thing, you know? And sometimes I'm hitting it so much because I'm in darkness, right? And it turns into my door. You know, I think that's my door sometimes, you know. Well, I keep hitting that thing, it'll go away, you know. And if it doesn't go away, it means you're looking in the wrong place. Okay? You're in the wrong room. If it doesn't go away, you're in the wrong room. So you better go back and say, ask yourself, why is this so important to me? To get removed from the situation. Why? Why? Why do I have to have this? Why do I have to have that? Why do I need to change this? So there is one thing you do have, I have discovered there is one place you can have something personal. And that's when you enter into the inner kingdom, where righteousness and joy and peace reign. That's the most personal thing you could ever know. But you can't have anything personal outside of that. Because anything outside of that is just unfulfilled desire. After unfulfilled desire. After unfulfilled desire. And people write books about it. And they're long ones. So if we have a feeling of unrest, it's because we're being tempted. We're being drawn back by our emotions, by our senses, to enter back into a world of appearances, a death realm. That's what it is. So Jesus wasn't being mean. Oh boy, isn't that funny? I read mean and rude and I come out with mood. That's probably good too, isn't it? He was in a mood. Oh, so Jesus wasn't being mean or being rude, which is a new word now, mood, when he said some of the things that we heard. Because I remember reading Luke 8 one time, and I read this thing, and I'm going, what the heck's he talking about? You know? I mean, that doesn't sound very nice, right? I thought Jesus was like love and peace and all these things. And he just said something. So we're going to read the account. I like the version in Matthew 8 the best. And so we'll spend a little time here. Matthew 8, 19 through 27. And a certain scribe came and said unto him, Master, I will follow thee whithersoever thou goest. Who's that talking? That's a man, isn't it? I will follow thee whithersoever thou goest. Well, obviously what Jesus was saying was tickling his ears, right? And Jesus saying to him, the foxes have holes, the birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man hath not where to lay his head. Now, we think that means Jesus didn't have a pillow. And that's not what it means. Okay, we think Jesus didn't have a pillow, okay? The Son of Man can never find rest. Ever. As long as you believe you're a man with the problem, you never are at rest. The Son of Man has no place to lay his head. Oh, well, that doesn't sound like something I want to follow then. I guess I won't follow you. Well, that didn't take long, did it? And here comes another. And another of his disciples said unto him, Lord, suffer me first to go bury my father. Now here's the blowout statement. You know what he said. Follow me and let the dead bury the dead. Whoa. Wow, that's mean, isn't it? That's mood. That's really mood. Mean and rude. Let the dead bury the dead. Holy smokes, what the heck's he talking about? Let the dead bury the dead. If you eat from this tree of the judgment of appearances, of the judgment of the knowledge of good and evil, you will surely die.
Rouse.
These are people who are living and controlled by the activities in their world, the activities within their body. The activities within their body. And that's a hard one. I'm not saying it's easy, guys. There's sympathy there. But my sympathy isn't going to help you. Okay? I can't just say all is well. That's just brainless words. That don't help anybody. Say all is well. It's not well in hell. It's not. How do we get out? It's not what you think it is. That's the biggest step you can get by getting out of your dilemma. It's not the answer you're looking for is going to rescue you. It's not. You got to go back and listen. Go back. It's not what it seems to be. It's not what it looks like, okay? Let the dead bury the dead. Wow. So, the dead are the people who don't know their name, aren't they? Huh? Was Jacob ever in a level of peace when he's running for his life in the desert, trying to be on the opposite side of the universe as Esau? And he didn't even know where Esau was. He could have been just over the next hill, couldn't he? But is that life? Spent his whole life running. And he found a pillow was a rock. That ain't a pillow. Yeah, and wild dreams. Yeah, well, we've all had those. I'm a wild dreamer. I got to get up and hit the reset button, I'll tell you. Wow, that sure was a bunch of baloney. Where the heck did that come from? Oh, my gosh, I remember them all, too, and I'm going, man, what a mess. What a mess. You got to let that stuff go, I'm telling you. There's no sense in it. Okay. Let the dead bury the dead. It's funny because there's three really good stories right nestled tight together here. And I was amazed to find the continuity when I really looked deeper because I've told them separately. But he moves right into when he entered into the ship. And another group of, you think that disciple stayed with them that said, let the dead bury? Of course he did. He went and buried his dad. No, I'm telling you. And the one before him didn't stay either because he liked his house. And he thought it had something to do with having a pillow and a room. Well, I'm not leaving my house. I want to leave my house. And here it says, and then here he says, I got to go bury my dad. Well, I know he went and buried his dad. Well, then he said, and when he entered into a ship, another set of disciples followed him. And here arose a great tempest in the sea. Oh, got an idea what that means? What's your tempest in the sea? Huh? You really think it has anything to do with water crashing over a boat? No. It says, insomuch that the ship was covered with waves. We get overwhelmed by our circumstances, don't we? Right? Overwhelmed. This is the great tempest. But the Christ, Israel, was asleep at the bottom of the boat. Not troubled at all by the circumstances of this world. Not troubled at all. Not troubled at all. And I found in the situation I just told you about with this family member that got fired, at first it was a little heart-wrenching. Why? Because of my emotional connection to this person. And then as spirit, as I was still, because I certainly don't want to comment when I'm reacting with emotions, because it's always wrong. It's always wrong. So we wait for spirit to respond then in wisdom instead of react with emotions. Instead of react with the answer to what we think the problem is, right? We wait for spirit. And you find then when you really can deal with, at least in this situation, I'm not going to, everybody's frantic. What are you going to do? What are you going to do? Because I'm the big boss, right? What are you going to do? What are you going to do? I got all this information coming in, and I don't know what to do yet. I really don't. And until I do, I'm not going to do anything. And I'm not in a hurry. Now, they are, because everybody thinks over there, you know, the sky's falling, right? Because one person's out of a job right now, who's connected to another family member, by the way. So I got a whole nest of family members, you know, buzzing around like bees over here, you know, just waiting for these meetings to end. So I go in and talk to them. And I don't know if it's going to happen then or not. I'm not sure yet, you know. But anyway, it's just an example. I just want to tell you about what's happening with me so you all can, you know, bring your experience out and we can apply these principles to where you're at. Okay, that's what I want to do. And so, the disciples, the only thing the disciples could see was a great tempest in the sea. And they became overwhelmed. They became overwhelmed by the waves of circumstances that continue to come. Wasn't it wave after wave, isn't it? Wave after wave. We think if we get an answer to this one, ah, boy, I'm sure glad that was over. That was hell. And here comes another one. I'm not kidding you now. Here comes another one. Wave after wave. And the only way to be free from it is to enter into our Christ, who was where? Inside the inner part of the boat, wasn't he? Inside the inner part. In here. This is this inner part of the boat, right here inside us. It's the same thing, isn't it? Yeah. It's the same thing. And there he was asleep. To what? To all the circumstances. Had nothing to do with snoring. He was oblivious to the turmoil. And now, I don't want to insult anyone individually, but again, the infinite way has taken that passage to mean we can sit in meditation and control the weather. I'm not kidding. That's what they get out of it. Does that story have anything to do with controlling the weather? The weather's calmed down when you quit judging by appearances, folks. It has nothing to do with getting rid of a wave and stopping a tornado or a hurricane. Oh my gosh. It has to do with being delivered from the circumstance world. And judge not by appearances, but judge righteous judgment. I think that's pretty close to what this is saying, don't you? Matter of fact, I think it's dead on. Because if we don't get the spiritual meaning, if we're just going to try to stop waves from getting big and becoming hurricanes, for what? To save the dead from burying the dead? I mean, what is this? What is it we see out here? We're so controlled by the environment. So controlled by it. Whatever that is to you, right? It's very personal, I know. The disciples ran to him, "Lord, we're going to perish." And he saith unto them, "Why are ye fearful?" He didn't say, "Boy, this is a hell of a big storm. We better calm this thing down. You know, I'm going to whip out some magic fairy dust and it's going to calm down." He said, "Why are you fearful? Why are you fearful? What is it that you're afraid of that you're trying to control?" It's another good question. "Why are you fearful, O ye of little faith?" Now, a person of little faith is somebody who's controlled by their circumstance. And I'm raising my hand. It can happen. It doesn't happen as long and as often now, but that doesn't mean nothing. It doesn't make me somebody. It makes me more at peace, is what it does. It makes me more peaceful. It doesn't make me somebody. I'm just understanding my center better. It really means I'm nobody. Really, if you want the real answer, it means I quit believing in this crazy Michael Olin Nevins guy who's been running to and fro across the earth his whole life, trying to do stuff, you know? I don't believe in that guy. It's why I get nervous before these meetings. Because I say, "Father, I don't want to get up here and say words that don't help anybody and don't mean anything." And so I think the nervousness is good, right? Because I can't say anything that's going to help anybody. I can't. I want to know what these stories mean. I want to know what it's about. I want to know why these stories can help us. I want to understand that. And I think that we've got a pretty clear meaning of that story. And so they awoke him in their fear, didn't they? It says they awoke him in their fear And he arose and rebuked the winds and the sea, and there was great calm. But the men marveled. The men marveled at what? Saying, what manner of man is this that even the winds and the sea obey him? And they all left and never got it. Because they marveled that the sea calmed down. But they never got the story, did they? Oh, ye of little faith. That means we go through a circumstance and we've got the answer to the circumstance, and somehow we think that that comes because we've meditated or we're blessed of God or we understand truth, and so that'll happen less and less. It's no different than these people that are just looking at the circumstances and thinking that if you don't get a cold or you don't get the flu or you're not supposed to get sick or all this judgment. It's just pure judgment. You know? I mean, we saw a picture of Rex and it doesn't look good. But I see somebody I love. I don't see somebody that's got something that doesn't look good. I see somebody I love and I care about. How can we live beyond that? You know? We say, well, bless God, you know, if you read your Bible a little bit more, son of a buck, it wouldn't ever happen, you know. Or if you'd meditate a little more, what's the difference? Reading your Bible or meditating? It's all works righteousness. It's all works righteousness. And I see that pretty clear. So I don't want to be a man that marvels at forgiven circumstances anymore. I don't want to be a man that's surprised or amazed by miracles, by visible miracles. I don't want to be a man seeking health or trying to run away from pain. I don't want to be that man. I don't want to be like Jacob. Running from what he thought was pure death, for sure, sure death, right? And it was nothing. Ended up being nothing, didn't it? Because he was not a people until he received his new name, and he didn't receive his new name until he saw it in Esau, until he saw God in Esau. And that's why he says, love your God with all your heart and love your neighbors yourself. So that deals with that circumstance, doesn't it? Can we see God in a person that we're not too fond of? Or do we see over and over and over and over and over again what we're not too fond of? Because that's what I'm going to hear when I have this meeting. Everybody's going to be yakking, well, I don't like what, you don't like what I do, but I don't like what they do. And I'll just wait for it all to get done, and then I'll say, well, you got in trouble for what you did, though, not for what they did, right? That's what the problem is, right? So you can't blame your problems on them when you're all doing the same thing, you know? Maybe run everybody out. If that's a solution, right? So we have to be still and realize that whatever criticism comes out, there's like Tony has said, there's 5 points back at you. And that's pretty elementary, you know, dealing with young people, right, who are full of themselves continuously. Thank God I'm 56, I'll tell you. I mean, I don't believe in time, but whew, I'm saying, man, I don't want to do that again, whatever that was. I have no trouble taking my history and throwing it in the trash. Woo! I say, yeah, hallelujah. Let's let that go. Yeah. I'll go in for a memory wipe. And I've learned how to do it every morning. I really have. Because there seems to be a trail of smoke that follows me. You know, a few trailers, right? Follow me to bed, and then, of course, you forget about them because a lot of times your dreams are about something else, crazy. And then you wake up, and here's the smoke waiting for you. Okay, you remember this? You remember that? Oh, yeah. Hit the easy button now. Yeah. How could we be insensitive to the activities of man? Because there's no such thing as man. No such thing. That's a real good answer, isn't it? Not a people. And I saw that there was no temple there. And John realized that the habitation of God was with man. We've said as man, but there's really no such thing as man. It's not God's in us and as us and stuff. It's all there is God. And what happens to this body is this body dwells in a circumstance world. We live in a circumstance world. How do we live beyond that? We don't judge by appearances, by the circumstance. It's simple. We can't draw conclusions from our dilemmas and think that it has anything to do with who we are. It has nothing to do with who we are. Yet we still go out. We're going to make decisions and stuff. But don't let your decisions condemn you or promote you. Jerry and I were talking about that yesterday. It's not safe to do anything if you're in turmoil. That's the key. You just got to wait till there's peace and there's direction. And there's no hurry. There's no time, right? So there's no hurry. We're told in the record to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. But we keep trying to attach that to an event that needs to take place. It's not an event. It's not a healing. It's not any particular thing. It's talking about you when you leave your world of appearances. To be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. We had a message yesterday about extreme pain. I've had extreme pain. But here it says to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. The answer isn't whether I should have pain or not, or whether I should be sick or not, or whether I get a cold or not, or the flu, or whether I'm in the hospital or not. That's all judgment from appearances. It's all the judgment of appearances. That's not the answer. When you leave the world of activities of your man, and the activities of other man, and the happenings out in this world, when we leave them, we'll quit judging them. We won't say, the world is so close to coming to an end. What in the hell is that? What world is going to come to an end? So close. What is that? That's our judgment of saying something should change in the appearances. When can we let this stuff go? When can we let it go? And then we say, well, how do we let it go? We've got to enter into a different realm. It's a different realm altogether, which to me, that's what meditation is for, and that's what silence is for. It doesn't change anything, though. You just begin to have your mind renewed, which is what Christ said when he said he'd overcome the devil. And he made an open display of him. He didn't judge by what he saw or what he heard. And that's not as tall a task as we think. It's not as tall a task as we think, because we get bogged down by all the circumstances, and to me, the waiting and the meditation is just to wait for the small still voice that's not anxious, that's not anxious, that's not anxious. Now, if we're looking for an answer to our problem, we're anxious, aren't we? We're anxious. So to be absent from the body and be present with the Lord is leaving the world of appearances, leaving the world of circumstance, leaving the world where we're trying to find answers to our problems. Whatever it is, fill in the blank, anything. Where you have a question and you don't know what to do. Because we had a witness yesterday. The question was asked, I think, 5 or 6 times. In the document I got, the same question, why? Right? And in this case, it was obvious it was because of extreme pain. And usually the pain says it faster than that. Why? I'm sympathetic with that, but getting an answer to that isn't going to solve it. That's the thing. It's just full of judgment. Whatever answer you think needs to come to that is going to be either good or evil. One of the two. And we can't live there. So we want to be tempted to offer prayers. I mean, some of the events that's happened here in the United States not too long ago was hard to swallow. My emotions got pulled in to that event. And I don't want to say what it is, but I was tempted to try to do something, you know, offer prayers, donations, you know. This group was inundated with so much stuff, they didn't know what to do with it. But that doesn't change the problem. It doesn't change. You can't be comforted in hell. There's no comfort in hell. It isn't going to happen. Everyone that believes in a body, anyone that has faith in any kind of body will suffer loss. Because this thing's going to pass away. And I'm hoping we get some more answers about some of that. But one thing I do know for sure is my friend Liz, who is not with us anymore, has no memory of anything that we call death. Has no memory of it at all. And she's not up there picking out her next parents either. Oh my gosh. Another infinite way thing. Oh boy. Silly us. Huh? Bunch of silly goofs. Right? And that sounds sort of judgmental, but I'm just talking about myself, you know. A spiritual body is just a person who understands union. Has nothing to do with anything physical that you can touch or feel, right? Now we look at the event of Christ where he sacrificed his physical body. And he said it had to go away. He told them, it's got to go away, guys. And then he ran around with this spiritual thing that apparently you could touch, but it could walk through walls, right? But even that disappeared, didn't it? Didn't it? Well, why isn't it still here? Because our spiritual body that we're going to have has nothing to do with something tangible that can change. Okay? It's not about the tangibles. It's not about appearances. I don't know what it's going to look like. You know why? Because it doesn't matter to me. I don't care. I think talking about those things is immaterial. Because it gets us focusing back on what's going to happen next. Well, nothing's going to happen next. What needs to happen right now is I need to let go of my history and my circumstances so I can live within this kingdom that's within. And Jesus said to them, if I cast out devils while I'm standing from you, the kingdom of God has come upon you. Right then. He said it was happening right there. Right there. If you drink from this water I give you, you'll have eternal life. Right now. Not someday with a different spooky fuzzy body that doesn't feel pain. It's nothing to do with those visible things. We just can't get off the tangible. We just can't get off it. Right? I mean, what are you going to be in the next room? Are you going to look like you did when you were at your best? You know, somebody, are you going to look like a baby? Are you going to look like a hot 20-year-old? Or if you live to be 80, you're going to look like this old haggy 80-year-old body you got. I mean, what are you going to look like? You're not going to look like any of those things. We're going to know who we all are in a different way. It's going to be far beyond what we can imagine in this realm, okay? Paul said the glory that comes is beyond what we could ever imagine or think, he said. You can't imagine or think about what it's going to be like. Full stop. Don't try. I just know it's going to be wonderful. Because I know what I'm feeling now is wonderful. I know that. What I'm feeling now is wonderful. I'm beginning day after day to be controlled less and less by my circumstances. And it's exciting. It's full of wisdom. I find wisdom comes when I wait to help other people with their little hells they're in. And to give them wisdom. That's what I find. So today, what about right now? What about this moment? I'm just thankful we're together here. I'm thankful those of you are watching that we're all together. I'm thankful for that. And that we can witness and hear this truth that helps us to escape the corruption that's in this world through our own lusts. Lust for what? An answer to your problem. Wanting to change the appearances through the lust of wanting to alter the appearances. We love the feeling we get when we hear truth, but then we immediately return to the world, to the vomit, it says, and want to change or alter the circumstance. And we think there's going to be some level of peace or blessing obtained there, and that somehow there's going to be some level of tangible peace walking around visibly on this earth when it's inhabited by a people who don't know who they are. It's inhabited by a people who don't know who they are. And that's the title of the lesson. The world where no one was. How can God help a world where no one is? How can God help that? Right? He already sent his son into hell to give us a message. Mike, come up higher. Get the hell out of hell. Come on up. Quit judging by appearances. You see that masked man? See that man behind the curtain? Don't pay any attention to him. Okay? That's you. That's Jacob. Don't listen to him anymore. Gaining our dominion back has nothing to do with ruling or reigning on this earth over something, over some event, animal, health, the list is never ending. Drop it. Has nothing to do with anything visible. Man lost his dominion when he began to judge the world by appearances of good and evil. If you eat from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, you will surely die. Die to what? To your true identity. Die to it. And this is the testimony of what? Every human being. This is the testimony. We heard about the testimony yesterday. Do we want to continue to testify as a human being and live in a world where no one was? The voice of an empty tomb, a voice of separation. Is that really where we want to live? Just chattering? Just gnashing of teeth? Yeah? Gnashing of teeth. And you can't help anyone else if you're in this world. You're no help to anybody. You can't wait to tell them about your problem normally. And you certainly can't help anyone if you're in turmoil. So the best help you can give to anyone is to be at peace and to be at joy and to have an understanding that is other than this world. To be absent from the body is to be present from the Lord. To be absent from all the judgment that pertains to what I see, to what I hear, to what I feel, to what I touch as a human being, is to be present with the Lord.